This pandemic is going to reshape our world. That much seems certain. We don't know exactly how or how much, but this kind of situation where the world literally stops for weeks and weeks, maybe months, you can't expect it not to have a profound impact on our healthcare system, on our early response strategies next time there is a virus detected, of course, on our economy, the way we interact with each other. And a big one amid all of that has to do with our civil liberties, our human rights, our personal privacy. If you remember back in January, the world was stunned when we saw China shut down a city of 11 million people, Wuhan, and then they expanded that to shut down the whole province of Hubei. It went on for months, of course, and people had no choice but to comply. Using technology, the Chinese government became very intrusive. There was a strategy to track people, their movements, their activities, their behaviors, whether they were complying, obeying the rules or not. People's rights were suspended. There was really no discussion about whether they had a choice. And of course, that has now spread to billions of people around the world. What is it going to mean once this is over? Will the government be able to track us on our smartphones? Will we have to take tests to make sure we're not infected? And how far does that go? Getting on an airplane, crossing the border to the U.S., going into a restaurant, a concert, even going into work. The list goes on and on. It's food for thought, because in times of crisis like this, it's human nature to be focused on the here and now. And sometimes we don't stop to think about the implications that are coming down the line. And people are very frightened about getting the virus. And so they are willing, at this point anyway, to sacrifice a lot. Let's go to Montreal. My guest on the line is Dominique Pachard. He's a spokesperson for the Quebec Civil Liberties Group. Dominique, thank you for coming on Viewpoints today. Great to have you with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
What are you most concerned about here? What do people need to know, Dominique?
Well, the idea that you have to sacrifice human liberties in order to have security, it's a road we've been down before. We've seen it recently recently in the past 20 years after the events of 9/11, where there was a panic and a lot of measures were put in place which were unthinkable before, and these measures are still with us. And they had an impact on our civil liberties, on surveillance. We've seen what the revelations of Snowden, but also not evenly on all of us. Particular communities have been targeted, like the Muslim community, and have had their rights restrained. Even their presumption of innocence has been challenged. So we don't want to go this pandemic to be to go down the same road, and that's our main concern. That to impose measures in a state of panic, and then have these measures become permanent, even after the situation has been modified or evolved.
That's such a great point, that the expansion happens in the middle of a panic situation, and then the expansion just continues and it becomes normal. You talked about September 11th. I think about, you know, the Patriot Act in the United States. That was a big one. And, you know, that just kind of stayed in place. And around the world, you know, surveillance was increased, as you're saying, tracking certain groups. People sacrificed some of their civil liberties in order to feel safer when it came to, you know, the threat, so to speak, of terrorism. Let me ask you about this kind of thing, this pandemic, this virus, when it comes to, you know, security and surveillance of our devices and our behaviors. What do you think we could see?
Well, I mean, we were concerned because a couple of weeks ago, the police started saying, well, we're going to geolocalize people, and maybe we could extend this to all the people who have the virus or could have the virus. And so we responded to that because, civil liberties can be curtailed to some. I mean, in our charter, we have the liberties can be limited in a way that is reasonable and justified in a democratic society. And there are very strict rules. The courts, the Supreme Court, has established rules for the limitation, and you can't just throw the charter overboard in a crisis situation. So we were very concerned that, like, mass tracking of people, that's a very intrusive. It's a characteristic of more of a police state than a democratic society, and it's an infringement on the on the presumption of innocence, among other things. So that was our main concern. And as you often, like these measures, when you see after the fact that these measures, in fact, don't really contribute to resolving the challenge we're facing. And if you look at the health crisis, which related to this pandemic, the figures that are coming out show that it's not a security issue, it's a health issue. People are, by and large, compliant with taking necessary measures not to propagate the virus, and we see where the problem is. I mean, the horrendous situation in senior home, senior residences, and nursing homes. That's where over half of the deaths are occurring. In Quebec, it's almost 2/3, and the situation, clearly the system was not up to par to protect the people. And though, so this is where the deaths are occurring. It has nothing to do with a need to surveil. Surveillance measures will not do anything. It's a failure which is elsewhere. It's in our capacity as a society to deal with a crisis like this in certain sectors.
Dominic Pachard is my guest with the Quebec Civil Liberties Group. The other thing I'm curious about is when you look at some of the countries, Dominic, around the world that have pushed this, Singapore or China or a number of countries, particularly in Asia, that are now using people's technology to track them to make sure they comply. So if you are ordered to stay at home, you know, they will track your activities based on your smartphone, and you've got to check in using an app. And if you're not where you're supposed to be, you can face very serious fines. Do you think that that would happen here, whereby once the worst is over for us in the West, that people will be asked to do that sort of thing? And do you think people would comply? Would they say, you know what, that's okay, I'm fine with the government, you know, tracking my activities?
Well, there is no, evidence right now that the problem, like the propagation of the disease in our society, let's say in Canada, would be really mitigated by such drastic limits on our civil liberties. As I said, when you look where the cases are occurring, it has nothing to do with that problem. We're doing that, and the same thing. If I may go back to the issue of terrorism and the measures after 9/11, I mean, there have been reports that this mass surveillance has done nothing to curb terrorism. So I'm afraid that we're facing a similar situation, and it may give a sense of security to the population, and that's the pretext that's often being used to expand these powers. In a state of panic, well, the government has to do something, and these surveillance measures are an example of showing that they are doing something. But that's not the thing they should be doing. They should be doing investing more in our health system, because it's clear that it's the weaknesses in the system which make it that we're not facing this pandemic as we should be.
Do you worry as well, Dominic, human nature being what it is, and psychology, that people, when they are scared, when they're worried, when they're frightened, they are willing to agree to things that, you know, if they weren't so scared, they would say, no way?
Well, it's sure that it's fear, and of course, exploiting fear, that's the other thing, is a way of passing these measures, that's for sure. But you can have a public policy which is more educative, less based on fear and based on responsible collective behavior. And I must say that after the initial fears we had when they started talking about geolocalization and so on a couple of weeks ago, by and large, the governments of Quebec and Canada have put forward the collaboration and the goodwill of the population rather than repressive measures. So that's, I think, a positive indication for our society, and I hope it keeps going in that way. One of the things which is a bit more of a problem, which is a bit of a problem, is like what you can do in a public space, because police have been giving powers, fine people who don't practice social distancing, and of course these powers are somewhat discretionary, and it's always a problem because then you don't know what you can do and what you cannot do, which is always a problem when you have a law. But also practice has shown that these kind of rules are not applied evenly to all sectors of the population. I mean, the rules of that nature have been shown in Montreal and elsewhere to lead to racial profiling. And we'd be quite concerned that if that sort of those sort of rules not be applied in a discriminatory way to the most vulnerable sectors of our society.
Dominic, thank you for taking a bit of time to come on the show today and share your thoughts on this with us. We appreciate it.
Okay, it's my pleasure.
Dominic Pichard, my guest, joining us from Montreal, spokesperson with the Quebec Civil Liberties Association. We're going to be right back on Viewpoints. Stay with us.